First of all, I really want to thank facilities management, the crews, dining, housing, the wellness center and library personnel, and all the people that were involved in the last few days. We've had a real catastrophe here, and it's amazing that the university was cleaned better than the city and the county roads. So I want to commend them, and it just shows. And I especially want to thank the students for not burning down anything or tearing up dorms. I know with cabin fever that can happen. So thank you all. I'm proud of all our students. So let me go ahead and we'll get started. And I do apologize, but we're trying to save money for the size of things. As you all know, I appointed three task committees to come up with recommendations, and they did come up with recommendations. That was passed on to the vice presidents to vet those out, see which ones were doable and which ones were not. And so this list, and I want to make sure that everybody understands, this list is going to be presented to the board at their board meeting, but we're not making any recommendations at this point. It's way too early to make recommendations. There's too many variables that we don't know. So this is just to inform you all. You know, I've said I'm an old accountant, and I said I want to be open and transparent about everything. I didn't want them to cut the hedges to Oakhurst, so that's too open and transparent there. John had mentioned that to me, but if you go by there, you can see there's no hedge there any longer. But it doesn't matter because I'm not living there. So this is just a conversation. I want everyone... I had a meeting back December the 17th, I think, with the vice presidents and all the directors and departmental chairmen and so forth, just to give an update where we are. So that's what I want to do today, is give the entire campus an update on where we stand. There's a lot of variables yet to be decided, so we can't make proposals yet to the board until we know those variables. So I want another thing that you all know that I'm concerned about is enrollment. So in every time I always talk about enrollment back before we even started with budget problems. So you all know how important enrollment is, and we can solve a lot of our problems, budgeting problems, with good enrollment and the right mix of students. Also, we wanted to make sure in this process that people didn't lose jobs. And so I've met with several people already that are gonna be displaced. Their job's gonna be eliminated, but we're going to find them another position. And that's what we're trying to do. We wanna make sure that happens. We don't want to hurt people. And the other thing, as I told you, none of these are going to be recommendations to the board except for one item, and that is the college that we are restructuring, eliminating the college basically, but have reporting the individual departments and so forth reporting to others like the College of Education, and that, so that is going to be recommended to the board. It passed the Academic Council, but I want you all to know, and I'm going to make it clear as I can make it, that This was just a financial decision. It didn't have anything to do with personnel in that college. That was a great college with growing enrollments. So there's nothing that the administration did wrong. In fact, they were doing things right. But when you have to have budget cuts, you want to look for ways to save money without cutting people. And that's what that was the whole point. We're trying to do that. So when you look at all these changes that are on this sheet, they're not hurting people. And we're going to find other jobs for those people. That's my pledge at this point. Now, I'm going to have something at the end to say that may be a little different. But right now, I'm going to go through these items. So let me say, first of all, that on this sheet, I can't see it, so I'm going to guess what it says. First of all, what I want you to know is 78% of our budget is salaries and fringe benefits. So when you start looking at ways to save money, you cut all you can. But in the last few years, Dr. Dunn eliminated some positions 2 years ago. Last year, we went through those rounds of trying to find ways to save money. We're doing that this year. There's nothing left. I'm telling you, we can't continue to do that. We found all that we can find without hurting people. So it's a painful process when you start to cut, and that's what we're trying to avoid. So I'll go ahead and these are the fixed costs that we have. So I'm just trying to point out to you our actual costs to start off with. So the first item up there is the salary and fringes for promotions and awards. So we're going to have promotions, and people are going to get those increments in pay. And so we're not cutting that out. So that's $124,000 that we're going to have to cover. All these items that I'm going through are additional dollars to last year's budget. So they weren't in last year's budget. Our benefits, if you all can read that, that's the KERS rate increase. That's $1,405,000. And that was mandated to us by the state. As you all know, the state of Kentucky has a serious pension problem. And what they did is, the way we're going to solve it, we're going to pass it out to all the entities in the state, and they're going to pay their fair share. So that's like a cut. That's an additional cost that we have to pay for our retirement obligation. That's KERS. Then we have KTRS, which is $134,000. And then real early when I took this job, Jackie came to me and said, we've got health insurance premiums are going to increase because of the experience that we've had, and it's going to be $552,000. How much do you want the university to pay, and how much do you want individuals to pay? And having not looked at the budget and still being excited about being appointed as interim president, I said, well, we're going to pay it off. People shouldn't have to pay that. So we're paying the full cost of the increase, $552,000. Bad debt expense, that's students that were not able to pay their bills, And that's happened because the economy has really gotten bad, as you all know. And that's money that's owed to us that we've lost. We do what we're supposed to do. We try to collect it. We turn it over to three different collection agencies. They go through the process, and we collect money, but that's the end product. That's how much we're going to lose. Interest revenue, we've got money that we invest, and we earn money on those investments to be included in our budget, and interest rates are down, as you all know, so our earnings are going to be down by $150,000. So just to start off with additional cost, that's $2.5 million. And then we had a budget shortfall, and you all may ask what that is. That's using reserves to balance the budget. And reserves are just one-time money, and you don't use reserves to balance the budget. So we've got to make up for that. I've just read several articles where other universities are using reserves to balance their budget, and they're in financial difficulty. I go to the CPE presidents. I shouldn't say this probably, but Moorhead is using reserves to balance the budget, and he said he was, and he said, "What about you all?" And I said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "I'm an accountant. We don't use reserves to balance the budget." So I never did tell him that we were, but I was too embarrassed to do that. So, that's just not good accounting, and you can't use reserves for that. So that's another $1.1 million. Then we, and Jay Morgan did a beautiful job in trying to come up to meet our obligation over in Paducah. So as you all know, we've opened a new campus. We're really proud of it in Paducah. Things are going great. We're working with WKCTC. Everything seems to be going well. But in the agreement, we bought the land. The city and the county of Paducah issued bonds so we could build that building. So that building is on our property, but it's not our building yet. And so we've got to meet certain conditions. We've got to have so much enrollment within a certain time period, or we just keep on paying rent payments. If we do meet those goals, then we become the owner of the building. So that's how that's set up. So we're adding new programs, we're adding new faculty to get that program going to meet the goals, the enrollment goals, so we will own the building. Also, if you all remember, we've identified some adjuncts that teach for us that are very important, but they're not covered under health care. And we didn't think that was fair, so we're trying to switch over adjuncts from being adjuncts to full-time faculty, because they're doing the same things that full-time faculty do anyway. And so we've converted 5.5 of those positions, and we intend to do that over the next several years, because we have a tremendous number of adjuncts, and we want to take care of those people. So where are we? So that's academics then, and you can see the different things that we've added, but if you'll look over in this column, right here, and then right here is the total for academics, and I don't know what that is. Y'all see that? My sheet says 823,000. So we've added to academics 823, and those are those positions that I've talked about in our Paducah campus. And by the way, by improving the Paducah campus, we're also reaching out to the other off-campus centers and offering those programs too by ITV. So it's going to benefit Murray State. We're going to have increased enrollment at Madisonville and Henderson and Paducah and all Hopkinsville, all our off-campus sites. So that's, how much was that, 800 and something thousand? All right, and then for recruitment. We used to have what was called a president's discretionary fund. And that's when all you guys came to me and said, we need this extra money to do this. Dr. Dunn gave us that money for these programs. Those are additional things that weren't budgeted, but they're recurring every year, and they should be budgeted. So I pulled all those out of the discretionary fund because there's not going to be a discretionary fund any longer. And so those amounts, you can look at those. That recruiting has been using a search firm that costs $96,000 a year. And that's to help us identify students to increase our enrollment. And I think this may be the third year. It's either the second year or the third year of that. We ask if that's important to those guys that recruit, and they said it's very important. And as you all know, that is a high priority with me because that can help solve the problem if we do recruit well. That, and then we've got the Racer Roundup. That's the cost, that's the estimated cost of Racer Roundup. That's a new program that we started. Dr. Morgan started that because we were getting 29% of the students that graduated in our 18-county region that went to college at Murray State. 29%. It's not very good. And so we've made a concentrated effort to do a better job recruiting students. So that's the old, what was it called? Yeah, Rhodes Scholar. So that replaces the Rhodes Scholar. There's a Governor Scholar stipend. These are priority items that the vice presidents turned in to me that said all these items that I'm going through that are important to the university. We've got a recruiter. Let me tell you about that. We had a recruiter that was paid out of the discretionary fund in Illinois. So it's somebody that's in Illinois and they drive around, they recruit, and we pay them, and I don't know who it is. Well, I mean, when I asked, nobody knew who it was, but we finally found out who it was. And so he does a really good job of recruiting, but he's not going to recruit for us any longer. So what that is, that position, that's a new position to replace that guy, and it's going to be in the budget, and it's going to be a full-time person to recruit in Illinois, and we really have to do a good job because Dr. Dunn is going to be at SIU, and he's going to do a really good job. So we've got to make sure that we do a really good job, too. So this person's going to recruit in Illinois and also work in financial aid in the off season. So we're going to it's going to be a good position for us. A 1% salary increase is $833,000. So I've included a 1% increase so you all would know how much a percent is. But that's really important to me, that we reward our employees. I'm telling you, when I met with the Sachs Reaccreditation Committee, it was unbelievable what they said about Murray State University. And they said, how do you have a culture here like you do at Murray State, where people work so hard and get paid so little? And that's the truth. And I really appreciate all our employees, because we don't pay enough. And we need to pay more. And that's what we're trying to do. So we're going to talk about that. But I've included a 1% increase. You know, if we can do more, we'll do more. If things change, we'll do that. It's important that we reward you all. I want to thank you for all that you do. And it's amazing how much you do. But I wanted to mention that to you. Then the other, where are we, Jackie? I can't see up that high. I've got a bad neck anyway, so. All right. These are different positions. So we've added a couple of positions there for Title IX, for the testing center, CFSB, President's Initiatives. What that is if the new president has any initiatives that he wants to spend money on. If you all want to take that out and tell him he doesn't have any, we could save $150,000 there. So you all talk to the candidates and see what they think about that. And then I'm going to skip on down to the next big thing is building maintenance, building major maintenance. You all see that? That's something that we haven't budgeted before, and that's deferred maintenance. Every organization that does a budget has a depreciation expense that they budget to replace and keep up their facilities. And I know you all know about our facilities, but I want to tell you that 60% of our structures here on campus are 50 years or older. 60%. And there's 13 buildings that were built between 1924 and 49 that are Rather Hall, Wilson Hall, Wells, Lovett Auditorium, Ordway, Pogue. I forgot, Ordway's gone, right? And you know why? You know why it's gone? Because we didn't keep it up. We didn't maintain it. And we're stewards of financial resources that the state gives us and that parents and students give us. So we're stewards, and we've got to make sure that we take care of these facilities. $630,000 is nothing in terms of maintaining facilities. And we've made the argument to Frankfurt that, hey, we've got to have this. This is your all's buildings. It's the state of Kentucky buildings. We've got to have that. So this is just a small stab to start with a program for deferred maintenance. We've got to do that. We've included in our budget request that's not going to be funded $16 million just for electrical upgrades. And $16 million, that's a lot of dollars. And when TVA cuts us off and we can't heat things and things freeze up, I mean, we've got some infrastructure problems that are serious here at the university.
What else we got?
Technology, the same thing. I just read an article today that hackers are hacking universities now. And the University of Cincinnati gets 1.3 million threats each day to their system. And so we don't want to release faculty's social security numbers and staff and students. So we've got to make sure that we keep up to date. So that's just getting us to where we should be. And I've got a contingency number there, you see, of 220,000. That's for someone to replace Bob Jackson as the political person. And Bob has done a great job, I can tell you, in Frankfort. But he's tired of going up to Frankfort. And I don't blame him. I'm tired already myself. And but he does a great job. But that's to hire someone to replace him. We're going to have to get someone to work Frankfort for us because we still get significant funding. And you say, well, gosh, that's pretty high for Bob. I mean, a political person. And it is. I think of that is about $75,000 for that person. The rest is for the new president. We don't know what he's going to be paid. So that's just a contingency number. So we'll find out, and then we'll put the true numbers in there. And that includes fringes. So I think I had $175,000 in salaries and maybe 45,000 in fringes for that. Anybody have any questions? So right now we're at 6.9 million deficit. So I'll stop there and just, is there any questions related to anything that we've gone through? I'll tell you anything that I know. Okay, then our revenue sources. Last year, I told you that we operated on reserves. Well, one good thing is that our enrollment increased more than we budgeted. So we expect to have 500,000 more in revenue than was budgeted for this past year, this year that we're in. And we can carry that forward. That'll be a recurring item that we'll carry forward to the budget. So that's going to help us, that $500,000. Then, with all the money being spent for new hires in Paducah and new programs, we feel like we're going to get an enrollment increase. And the enrollment increases are going to be the total of those two, about $900,000. And then we've got some fee increases that were passed at the last board meeting that'll be about $248,000. And so the total savings then that we think we're going to have are $1.6 million. Now that gets us down to $5.2 million deficit. And then the governor has said that he's going to cut higher education by 2.5%, and that is 1.2 million, a little bit more than that, but 1.2 million. So that's the cut that we're going to get. Now, Bob has worked very hard up in Frankfort. I've been up there with him a little bit, but not as much as he's been. And the House has said that they're not going to change the governor's budget. And if it comes out of the House with a 2.5% cut, that's what we're going to end up with. So I feel very strongly that we're going to have a 2.5% cut. It's not going to be restored. You all work hard and try to get it restored, and we are too, and the letters and all that are good, but it's the state's broke, and I'm not optimistic at all. The governor said out of that 1.4 million, remember up at the top, that for KERS, he said, I'll give you half back. You'll only have to pay half of it. And so that's that $750,000 there. So that's additional cuts to 5.7 million. So that's where we are, is 5.7. Then we have the recommendations from the budget task force committees and the vice presidents going through their individual areas. So that's that 2.5 million. You can see where those cuts are coming from. You all see those. I'll go through that real quick, and then I'm going to show you more detail. So that 129 and the 125 are from the president's office and athletics. So the 129 is from the president's office, athletics are 125. We could have more of a cut than 125, you know, if we don't give the president a raise and if we take away those initiatives that he might have. But I doubt if we'll do that. Academics is 521. Facilities and vice president of financial operations, 1.2 million. Institutional advancement, I can't read that number. Is that 138? And then student affairs, 293,000. And that's where those come from. So you all have got copies of this. Sharon, you ready for that next? I didn't want to release these until the board got them. So the Board of Regents has got these. These are the recommendations. So we're going to release. I didn't make copies today, but we're going to have them where you can go print those off if you want them. Right? Everybody catch up? Any questions on it? Okay, so I'm gonna go through this document really quick. This is the president's office, that this first page. And remember, it was athletics and the president's office combined. It was 254. That's Bob Jackson's move to the foundation, regional stewardship. Two reductions there. Athletic director operations and an amount that we had been paying Phil Bryan for enrollment management, but he's going to retire. So that's the cuts, 254 there. So go to the next one. So this is academic affairs. This is, that first page is the college of HIHS, and you can see those. I'm not going to go through the detail of any of these. But you all can, they're on the website, so you can go look at those. So that's the first page, so keep on going. This, and that just continues. It's where Dr. Morgan and the deans from each college have made recommendations, and here's what they've come up with. And I'm not going to go through that in detail unless you all want to ask any questions. So keep on going. And then, is that still, yeah, that's still academics. So the total is $521,398. For academic affairs. And then finance and administrative services. Okay, there's a couple I do want to talk about. Increase in parking fees, because that'll give you something to question me about. But we're recommending that parking fees increase from $55 to $75, so a $20 increase, a $10 increase is that for parking over in the stadium? So the total is $136,950, and let me tell you who that affects. So students, the effect on students are $112,590 out of that $136,950. Faculty is $8,120, and staff is $16,240. So keep on going. All right, there's another one. Eliminate free parking tags. That was for employees, I think, that had worked here for 20 years or longer, and they got free parking tags because of their 20-year service. So we're recommending that be reestablished, that those individuals would pay for that. And I want to say at this point that we don't want to take anything away from people. And you say, well, why are you doing it then? I'm doing it, but I'm showing these. These aren't recommendations yet. I want to know where we stand, but I couldn't live with myself if I didn't put something like that up there and then go fire people. And they say, well, what about those parking? You know, people could pay their fees and I could still have a job. So we're just putting everything out on the table. If we have enough money, we're going to make adjustments, but we don't know. So that's why we've included those things. So there's some... people are retiring and so forth, but you all can go look at those when you get time. Well, another thing that may be controversial is that we're closing the cashier's office over in Sparks. So we're not going to deal with dollar transactions. So Jackie, I'll let you explain that at some point if there's any questions on it. Keep on going. I hear some whispering, so if you all want to ask me the questions, I'm usually walking around talking to students, and but if you want to ask questions, feel free to ask me. Y'all see anything? Okay. Luncheon, staff luncheon, $6,000, and people said, "Well, what about the faculty? We want the faculty it was eliminated last year, and the board eliminated the faculty luncheon last year. It was paid for with private dollars. It won't be paid with private dollars this next year. And then faculty pens, you know, I hope we can do that. I hope we don't have to cut those, but they're on the table right now. Another thing that would affect employees are wellness center incentives that we pay, $15,500. We're going to have those on the table also. So does anybody want to ask any questions about any of those? Yes. In a lot of these things, you'll see we had just over budgeted, and we weren't spending that much, so it was just a reduction to help us meet the budget without hurting anybody. Okay, where are we? So that's $1,230,000 for finance and administrative services. Institutional advancement. That total is $137,965. We increased parking fee and the funding of profits of $20,000. Decrease in consulting, a printer press operator position, and a facilities manager position. So a total of $137,900. And then student services, and you can see that there's not much there for recruiting enrollment, because that's a priority with us. And I will say too, when you go through these, there's no some of the people came to me with reductions for student wages and student positions, and we've taken those out because we don't want to hurt students. We want to have student employment. We've reduced the hours of the Wellness Center. Excuse me, we haven't reduced those, but those are on the table for consideration. Don can't travel as much. And there's a little reduction in residential colleges that applies to each college for programming action agenda items. So just small stuff. But it adds up eventually if we get to the next page. We decreased the postal operations, a postal carrier, I think. By the way, I've met with all the individuals that have been affected, because I want to make sure that what I said is true, that we're trying to find positions for those, and I've met with HR to make sure that when an opening comes available, these people that I've talked to have first priority on these positions. So we're gonna make sure it works out. Go ahead, Sharon. So that total is $293,135. And what's that next page? Yeah, the legacy waiver reduction, that's for alums that have children that come back to Murray State. That was passed by the board last time, so we're just carrying that out. So the total cut's $2.5 million. And so now, can we go back to that cover sheet? Anybody have any questions? Can you all read your sheets or not? Okay, so down at the bottom then, with the $2.5 million in cuts, we've got a deficit position of 3.229. Everybody see that? So that's where we are today. And that's what I wanted you to know. The whole process, what all's included. There are a few things up at the top that we could reduce. But that's what we're looking at. It's 3.229. Now, let me give you a couple of other things that could happen. They're trying to increase the minimum wage. If that passes, it's going to cost us $410,000. Next year. We're looking, TVA has given us a chance to amend our contract where they'll give us 6 minutes to cut off. And it'll cost us $200,000 if we do that. I'm kidding about the 6 minutes. But if we amend the contract to get more power, here's the problem. We can get more power, but it's not going to help us anymore. Right, Kim? Not much more. We're not going to be able to heat everything that we need to heat. We're still going to have the same problems. But if the board at this meeting, and they're going to look at that, if they decide to amend the contract, that's going to cost us in utilities the possibility of another $200,000. I know I go to all the meetings that I can, all the staff meetings and all the faculty senate and all the student meetings, and there is a proposal for that's going to cost $30,000 for extended member, family member tuition waivers. And for non-custodial children, tuition waivers would be $100,000. So if that were to pass, that'd be another $130,000, putting us at a deficit of $4 million, essentially. So I don't know what's going to happen on that bottom part, but that could happen. So is it bleak? Yeah, it's bleak, you know, but I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm not trying to hide anything. I want you to know what's there and what we're dealing with. And I'm not just crying wolf. I said from day one, we got to recruit. We've got to get enrollment up. We've got to offset this. Now, a 1% tuition increase is $700,000. So that's the only thing that we haven't considered yet. What about tuition increases? So a 1% increase is $700,000. If we were at that 3.2, it'd take a 5% increase to cover that, right? It'd be $3.5 million. I go to all the CPE meetings that I can, and they set the cap, and there's a real good possibility because the governor, and I don't understand this, but the governor says, we're going to cut you 2.5 because you got alternative sources of funding, and the alternative sources are tuition. But then he says, I don't want you to raise tuition. So I don't know what the CPE is going to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if they set a cap of 3 or 4%. You know, I don't know what'll happen. But that dictates what we can do. And then I don't want to shove all of this off on the students. I want the students to see that we're trying to get our house in order with these $2.5 million cuts. But also I want the students to know that they've got to help us, because we can't continue to offer the quality programs that we do at Murray State. And I'm telling you, we've been doing it for years, and it's amazing, but we're not going to be able to do that. If we get this cut, we're going to have had $10 million in cuts from the state since 2008, and we just can't continue to do that. We're going to have to be a mediocre institution if they keep on cutting us, because we're going to have to increase class sizes and have more adjuncts teaching to save money, and I don't want any part of it. I've got too much invested here at Murray State. We want to be a high-class operation, and we are. So I want to show you something. So if you can get that up. This is... This is tuition for all the Kentucky State Universities. So I hope you all can read that. But at the very bottom is Kentucky State. Everybody see that? And it's $6,616. That's the tuition for 1 year at Kentucky State, but that's for 12 hours. If a student takes more than 12 hours, they have to pay additional tuition, and in the end, it's higher than us. We're second lowest, $7,044. Look how far behind Moorhead, who I think is pretty mediocre, compared to Murray State. I'm good friends with their president, so. But anyway, for us just to get to where Moorhead is a 6.5% increase in tuition. And believe me, Moorhead's going to raise tuition as much as they can next year. We're not going to catch up with Moorhead. Western, who we compete with, and I hear all our faculty and staff and employees talk about trying to beat Western and so forth. And that's true. And I want to. But look at what Western's the third one, $8,722. If we charged what Western charges, we would have $15 million more dollars. $15 million. And we're competing with Western right now with $15 million less. And they're giving large scholarships to students that we can't give because they have a lot more money than we do. So I'm just trying to point out that we're going to have to raise student tuition. There's no question about it. But I want to make sure we do our part, as I said. And I don't want the students to feel like we're just pushing this, the whole brunt of all this on students, because we're not. But for them to be proud of the degrees that they get at Murray State and to have a quality institution, we're going to have to increase tuition. There's no question about it. So, what do we do? That's enough on that. So let's go back to that first page. So where we are is that 3.2 million, I think. And we could look at different scenarios. The House may change their mind. and give us back $1.2 million. Boy, if they did, that'd be great. That'd get us down to $2 million. And then it would only take a 3% increase to cover $2 million, and that $2 million includes a 1% increase. You know, if everything worked out where it's 3.2 and we could raise tuition 5% and get 3.5, that would include a 1% increase. Probably what I would do is look back at some of these items that are small that we're taking away from people that have already been rewarded. Go back and reinstate those. I'd probably set up a pool of money because we'd have about 700,000, I mean, 250,000, I guess, in a pool that I would want to try to deal with salary compression for people at the university that have worked so long. And that's not much, but that's a good first start at that. But I don't know how all this is going to work out. But believe me, I'm going to recommend what's in the best interest of Murray State as a whole. I can guarantee you that. I've got too much invested. I want us to maintain a quality institution, but we're not going to budget. I'm not going to give you, you know, I could give recommend 3% raise right now and operate with reserves. And that's done all over the country. I read an article today in Pennsylvania. There's 14 universities in Pennsylvania. Seven of those universities are operating on reserves, and they've been called into audits by faculty and staff for in the state of Pennsylvania to look at that. And they're using $5 and $10 million of one-time money to give raises that are going to continue all these years. So I'm not trying to make you all happy, but I'm not going to give you a 3% raise and operate like that. That hurts Murray State University. So, you know, I'm just a simple accountant. I try to be honest. I try to let you know everything that's going on. But my heart's Murray State, and I'm not going to hurt it. And you all aren't either. I know that. Because all of you do such a wonderful job for Murray State. So I'm not worried about that. Now, here's what I'm worried about. I'm going to have to go back because that deficit is too big. I'm going to have to go back, and I'm going to have to start looking at positions. So I'm going to have to come up with a list of cuts to get that down. So we'll have something to take to the board. So I want you to know that I'm going to be doing that. And if you all know people that are not happy here, that complain all the time about Murray State, tell them to come and see me. That'll save me a lot of time and effort while I'm looking for these positions. So that's all I've got. Any questions? I'll open it up. Yes?
Is this also available
online? You'll have to ask.
We don't have this online. That's why we have to get a hard copy.
Any other questions? I'm hoping I get some good suggestions. It's serious. We're going to do the best we can. We're still trying not to hurt people. And we haven't so far that I know of. But the next round's going to be tough. And that's, you know, if y'all have got some better ideas, you let me know. Yes.
You talk about
In there, we have an enrollment increase already. You all saw that in the revenues, remember, for the new programs over in Paducah and so forth. And I think it's about a 1% increase, I believe.
Yeah, these right here, they're right at 1% increase
for this year, but like if you're enrolling next year.
No, that's next year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's next year's. So there's already an increase. So. Right.
The 500,000 is growth we had in our current year that we will budget.
So we want to do everything that we can to increase enrollment. You know, that's going to help us a lot. And gosh, our guys do a great job. I'm telling you, they really do recruiting students. And that's why I encourage all of you all in here to help us recruit. And I know most of you do, but when I walk around campus, when I see those groups, you know, I always go up and say, hey, we got to have you for next year. So, you know, make sure you do that. That's really important. And we don't, you know, we don't want to get too big, but we want to be able to service the students that we have and give them the best education that we can. That's really important that we maintain that quality. I'll also say that I hope that all of us pull for each other, and I think we do. And if somebody over here does well, that helps the whole university. And sometimes I'll hear something like, well, you know, over there they don't do this and they don't do that. Let's be positive. Let's all work together. We're all in the same boat. Food services, I hear people complaining about the increase in prices and so forth. You know, they're part of us. And if they do well, the university's going to do well. Let's make them be competitive, but let's support them. And just things like that. We need to work together. We're all together. We're all Murray State. We're all racers. So it doesn't help us to criticize somebody over there. Let's just all be the very best that we can. Anything else? Yes.
You said about the cashiers not being open. What does that entail exactly?
I would let Jackie explain that, but she talks too long. And she's gonna meet with you after this and give you the details on that. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned recommending positions to the board. Do you have a benchmark after what dollar amount you're looking for recommendations?
You mean to
if you have to eliminate positions, you said you'd recommend a dollar amount?
I don't, because there's too much, Chad. What's the governor gonna do? What's legislation gonna do? What's the minimum wage going to happen? What's the tuition cap gonna be? So I can't answer. I'd like to just quit right now and know that I could increase tuition by 5% and none of those four things on the bottom go into effect, so we don't have to eliminate positions. Because we shouldn't be doing that. That doesn't make any sense at all if you all think about it. Here I'm saying, let's get more students. And then we talk about eliminating positions, and we want to give the best education that we can. We need more faculty and staff. But we are probably, when we're compared to other universities, we're probably a little top-heavy non-faculty areas. So that's what I would be looking at. Anything else? Thank you guys for coming out on a late afternoon. Appreciate it. Thank you.